Welcome, everybody, to another Stories from the Road, where we share insights and stories from our years of bike travel. My name is Russ.
And I'm Laura.
And the theme for tonight's show is the people you'll meet. So I think we can both agree what has stood out after, you know, years from traveling has been the people.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like there's something about traveling in general that just sort of opens you up to meeting new people in a way that you aren't in sort of normal everyday life. And then there's something about being on a bike that just breaks down all the barriers.
For sure. Because we've done a fair amount of traveling now that we have a minivan, and it's just not the same experience.
That is true. People don't walk up to you in a van and go, hey, you want some water?
Right. Or just randomly give you food on the side of the road. Yeah. So the theme tonight is the people you will meet. And I think it's going to be our most ambitious live stream.
Yes.
I had this vision that, you know what we should do? We should do it like a This American Life and have it in three acts. So that's what we're going to attempt to do. It might be a little bit rough, but just
we're going to go with it.
Yeah. For this episode though, like we really had to dig back into the archives to pull out those stories. And you literally went into the closet and did some digging.
I did. Look. Notebooks. Yeah, I had some amazing foresight when we started traveling to actually not just like write down the, you know, the day-to-day, you know, play-by-play kind of thing, but actually take notes on like all the people that we stayed with. You can't read that at all, I'm sure. But yeah, so it's kind of cool. This, gosh, this notebook, like you can, it's just wrecked. And somehow it's still holding together. But yeah, so over the course of almost 3 years of traveling, we stayed with 102 different people, 102 homestays, which is kind of amazing if you think about it.
Yeah, that's a lot of people. That's so many people to have just a random glimpse into their lives and just share that experience.
For sure. Yeah, and some of them were warm showers hosts or people that we stayed with for just a single night while we were passing through. And some of them we stayed with for, you know, upwards of like a week or so. So really got to know them, got to know their kids, their pets.
Right.
Their routines.
There were lots of pets on this trip.
A lot of pets.
I think you should share an entry. Just pick a random entry.
Just so
people know what you recorded. See, I recorded our experience with a camera. You know, we have a whole Flickr page and all that stuff. But I'm so glad you actually took notes because I can remember the people's faces, but not exactly their names or the specifics.
Yeah, well, this is not exactly you know, interesting reading. There's kind of funny notes. So I took notes on, what we ate, whether they were coffee drinkers, if they had pets, you know, little weird tidbits about their house or where, you know, if we were camped in their yard or that sort of thing. And, you know, this one apparently we had dinner in town at the best Mexican food ever.
I still remember that.
Ever.
Who were the hosts?
Carter and Sandra in Brawley.
Yeah, that was in Brawley, California. And I remember when we stayed with them, he, back in the day, was a champion 24-hour mountain bike racer. And that's, you know, how he ended up on Warm Showers. And she, I don't know if she was a veterinarian or she really loved pets, but they had just amazing animals all throughout the house, like parrots and dogs.
Yeah, they had a deaf dog.
They had a deaf dog. And the deaf dog was really smart because they didn't realize it was deaf until quite some time later because the dog was so good at copying the other dogs.
Right.
You know, so I remember she told me like she went up behind the dog once and tried to scare it and didn't move. And that's when it finally dawned on her that the dog was deaf.
Right. So 102 different homestays.
Cool. Well, we're not going to go through all those stories, right. But we will go through a couple of highlights from that trip. But before we jump in, you know, I do want to thank our patrons on Patreon. You guys make this content possible. You allow us to, or you allow me to do this full time and do these upgrades to kind of really sweeten the content. So thank you guys. And if you guys like, if you're not a patron already, you know, and you like the content, consider supporting the channel via Patreon. So I think we're going to move on to our first act, which is The Kindness of Strangers. Oops. So the kindness of strangers is the notion that when you're a traveler, you're kind of privy to some interesting moments of just grace from other people.
Yeah, for sure. Where you, I don't know, there's like you get this glimpse into, you know, somebody's life that you would never otherwise have a chance to interact with them. And
yeah, I think Willie Weir has a great phrase for him. You may know him. He contributes a lot to adventure cycling. I think his phrase is enabling kindness. And there's something about being on the bike, being vulnerable and open that welcomes interactions. Mm-hmm. And he argues that, you know, too often in our daily lives, we don't have that opportunity to show kindness. But when you're traveling on a bike, it opens that door. It invites it.
It does, for sure. Yeah, something about being vulnerable, I think. You're not going to steal somebody's TV.
Right. Unless it's a very small TV. But you probably shouldn't do that anyways. So we're going to hop in here and share some stories of kindness of strangers. And I think, you know, some of these stories are going to be people that you know. Here's a picture here. I'm sorry, podcast folks, but it's a picture of Grant Peterson. We got a chance to roll through Rivendell when we were touring the California coast. And it was an interesting time because we went in there. He looked over our bikes and you know, he very hurriedly said, you know, you guys should go to lunch. He was very insistent, go to lunch to this one place. I think it was a sandwich shop or something. And when we came back, what happened?
Yeah, he had stuffed blue foam underneath our brick saddles, under the leather part. Mine especially, because it was in really sad shape.
Yeah, this was in Grant's infamous blue foam under the brick saddles phase. But beyond that, you know, he saw that we had MKS pedals, which I think we actually bought from Rivendell, and he had drilled spikes in them.
That's true. Yeah, on one side so that you'd have more traction.
Yeah, so something we totally didn't expect. You know, he just sent us off to lunch and we came back and he did just this awesome thing. Another really memorable kind of random act of kindness in one of the most unlikely places was at the Salton Sea. So I don't know if you guys ever been there. It's a little rough, a little desolate. It's known for mass fish die-offs every year. It's not too far from Slab City and Nyland, and pretty unlikely place to run into people that you think would be nice to cyclists. But we were there, camped out. I think this was in December, right?
Yeah, it was. And it's also a pretty place.
It is a pretty place. I mean, that, by this photo, you know, I don't mean it's not just like dead fish all the time.
Yeah, I remember in, because we were there like right before Christmas or right at Christmas, and there wasn't, it wasn't a dead fish thing going on.
No, it was actually quite
there.
Nice.
It was really lovely. But yeah, it's kind of an odd little pocket of the state, yes. California.
I think we were there during Christmas because I remember one of us had a little wreath that we had tied to the bicycle to celebrate the holiday. That was you. Okay. That was you. So we were there and we thought we'd do something fun. And there was a state park at some part of the Salton Sea. And this was early days of the internet, like over a decade ago, or early days of Facebook rather. And, you know, just for fun, we decided to do a live stream, which is kind of ironic.
It was actually amazing that the visitor center there even had Wi-Fi.
Yeah. So we pedaled over there. I think I was using my laptop. Like the phones wouldn't have been sophisticated enough at the time. So we did this live stream. And then next thing we know, we got an email from someone.
Did she email? She actually drove into the park.
Oh, did she?
That's
so
what I remember.
Okay. I remember. So at some point, someone had contacted us and said, hey, I saw your live stream. You know, would you come to Christmas dinner? And they, you know, they had seen the live stream and was riding around the Salton Sea until they saw two wacky cyclists. And that's when we met these folks. Do you remember her name?
I did.
We looked it up earlier.
Shoot. Jenny? I think her name was Jenny.
Yeah. It was fascinating. Like the reason why she discovered the live stream was that she was in this effort to restore the historic Salton Sea Yacht Club. Apparently it was a spot, you know, like Frank Sinatra would go there, hang out Salton Sea. They'd ride their cigar boats, the Beach Boys, and had fallen into disrepair. And her and her husband, I believe, were part of this effort to kind of revitalize that mm-hmm. yacht club. And I think I have a picture of it. Yeah, this is it.
Yeah, and then turn it into a community space or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we ended up having Christmas dinner with them.
Yeah.
Do you remember what we had?
Yeah, I remember that it was your first experience with a salad that is not made from lettuce.
That's right. It was the first salad I had seen that had marshmallows in it. Marshmallows and what's it called? What are the jiggly things?
Jello. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It was your first Midwest salad in California.
Yeah. So completely unexpected. You know, one moment we're in this beautiful, somewhat desolate place doing a live stream 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And next thing we know, this person approaches us and, you know, asks us out for Christmas dinner. Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
It was very cool. Another really awesome story. We stayed in Tellico Plains in East Tennessee for a couple of days for my birthday when we were traveling through, and found this really cool little lodge, kind of a place right next to the river, and stayed there and had gotten to talking with the woman at the front desk about kind of the sad state of food in town, because the one grocery store that they had was on its last legs, and the Walmart was 30 miles down the road. And we were, you know, trying to figure out how we were going to stock up for the next couple of days. And fast forward a couple of days, we popped back in to pick up something that had been mailed to us. And she had brought this bag of veggies from her garden, and some sausages that were made locally, and I think even like a little mini bottle of wine, it was super cool. And I think like all of those stories are like they're a prime example of like a trail angel, right?
Right. And you guys, so if you don't know, Laura wears another hat when she's, you know, not making live streams with me, but she works at Adventure Cycling, and you guys just launched a program that's kind of similar around that, right?
Yeah. So the idea is to encourage people to share their trail angel stories. So, you know, if you guys want to go and share your story, if you're on Instagram, you can look up the hashtag #MyTrailAngel. And it's been pretty cool. Like all the different stories, people bike traveling around, and the people that they've met that have really helped them out of a bind. And yeah, so
cool. Yeah, you know, you had mentioned that we went to the post office to pick up something, and I know what it was now. Do you remember?
I don't.
It was I had gone into fly fishing. We were fishing somewhere on Tellico Plains.
Do you remember?
And at one point I was on the river, and the thing about that bit of river is it's a dam controlled, but there's no like big, you know, horn or something. And while we were on a gravel bank kind of in the middle of the river, we saw it quickly rising, like inches.
Yeah.
And we scrambled. I remember tossing my camera gear on the upper bank. And in the rush, I had left parts of my fly rod. It was, It was like a 6-piece Orbis. No, it wasn't
an
Orbis.
LL Bean. It was a
6-piece LL Bean fly rod. And I lost half the segments down the river. And I was so bummed because I was just, you know, getting the hang of casting and everything. And I remember calling LL Bean and telling this story, the customer service guy, and he was just laughing. And he said, "Don't worry, I'll overnight it. Where are you staying?" And that's what we picked up in Tellico Plain.
Man, I had forgotten all about that.
Yeah. All right.
Awesome.
Another really unexpected act of kindness was along the Cherokee Skyway. If you're not familiar, it's, where do you say it was?
This is what we rode when we left Tellico Plains.
Okay.
It's right on the border of Tennessee and North Carolina.
Right. I believe this stretch is part of a popular motorcycling route called Tail of the Dragon with mm-hmm. like, I don't know, 4,000 curves or something. But one thing to know is that it was super hilly. It's not like a climb here out in the West where it's, you know, a gradual and civilized 5-6% up to a summit. Is really punchy, really windy, and also really humid. And I think I dug up this picture. this is me bicycling during the summer, pretty much.
Oh, I know. Poor Russ.
Yeah. That was me earlier today too. But so I was getting pretty toasted because it was hot and it was steep. And next thing we know, there's this white pickup truck that quickly goes around us and pulls over. I was like, great. You know, we're in the South, white pickup truck. Where is this going to go? Mm-hmm. And we pass, you know, kind of like politely wave. And this guy comes out, or he doesn't come out. He rolls down his window and he says, do you want some water? And, you know, as you can see by the photo, I was in some dire need of some water. It was like, sure, I'll take some water. And then next thing I know, he said, do you want some cheesecake? And I was like, what? I will take that cheesecake. And it turns out it was this guy that was following our journey on Twitter. And he saw that we were going through. So he hopped on the Cherry Halo looking for, you know, two crazy cyclists once again, and gave us water and cheesecake. And later, I don't know if we got there that evening, but we ended up at the Nantahala Outdoor Center. So along the Nantahala River, really popular for rafting and fishing. And, you know, he said, you know, my wife and I are super into rafting. We'd love to take you out on the river if you've never been. We're not really raft people.
But we did. That was fun, actually. Yeah. It was, because it had some rapids, but it wasn't like crazy.
Right.
So it was fun.
It wasn't like Niagara Falls.
Right. Exactly. And also it was hot and it was nice to be in the river.
Yeah. So that's it was amazing. Mm-hmm. It was so random just to be sweating and have the truck pull up and have the most unlikely kind of interaction.
Yeah, exactly. So, and another, if you want to.
Oh, whoops.
Changes. There we go. Totally different season.
Right.
When we were riding through Far West Texas, we pulled into Alpine, Texas, and we were planning on camping in an RV park or something like that. And then the weather forecast was for snow. And by this point, we'd had enough of camping in the snow. And so we were trying to find somebody that we could stay with. And the one warm showers host that everybody was like, stay with that person, was out of town. And I remember being in the bookstore and talking to the woman that was working there and kind of, you know, asking if she had any suggestions. And Annie was there and was like, well, you know, are you guys looking for a place to stay? I could host you. And I think she was friends with the warm showers host person.
Right.
And she'd never hosted anybody herself, but was like, how hard could it be? And it was fantastic. She had this little guest house. I remember her bed being like this pillow, like
pile
amazing. Of pillows, like sleeping in a cloud. It was fantastic. And we woke up to snow on the ground the next morning. And so it was just this like amazing godsend, and went in the kitchen to make some coffee, and she'd been up since, I don't know, 4 a.m. baking, and she just, yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah, I remember talking to her that morning. I was like, what's up with the baking? And she said, her answer, I remember, you know, I love to bake and I'm also an insomniac.
And we benefited.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Funny enough, I was recently in Vermont giving a presentation at the Vermont Walk Bike Summit. And this woman came up and she said, you may not remember me, but, you know, I met you and your partner, you know, a decade ago back in Texas. And, you know, I was talking to other people. I just finished presenting, so wasn't like fully cognizant of who it was. But in retrospect, it was her. And I wish I had known so I could have thanked her.
I'm sure she knows.
Yeah. Well, hopefully hopefully she's watching or she'll stumble upon this video.
Yeah.
So, our next act is Unexpected Friendships. So I think one of the cool things about traveling by bike is that you just find yourself with people. All sorts of people, you know, sometimes you get to choose, sometimes you don't choose, but you make the best of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I remember staying with a lot of people that had totally different politics than we did, that, you know, had totally different hobbies than we did, that, you know, you're sort of like, you are on a totally different wavelength, you know, path in life than me, and I would never have a chance to like interact with you. Our paths would never cross. And for some reason they did. Somebody had connected us or, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Or if you happen to find yourself in just a place that gets a lot of the travelers, there's this kind of common grace between people. Like you realize that you're not going to be together for very long. So you don't have to do this dance, right? This social dance. You can just cut to the chase, get your story out there, exchange stories, you know, bond over what you have in common. And that's the theme of this, this part of the presentation. So one of the most memorable stories from this was actually in Hachita, New Mexico. And you probably wouldn't have heard of Hachita unless you were doing the Continental Divide Trail either as a hike or as a bike ride, but it's pretty near its southern terminus.
Oh yeah. It's like,
at the end.
It's like, you know, yeah. Spitting distance from the Mexico border.
Yeah. And we were passing through there, and before we had gone there, we were staying with a friend in Bisbee, and he had mentioned that there's this guy, just this guy in Hachita, that if you go there by bike, he'll let you crash on his lawn. You're like, okay, if you say so.
I remember like rolling into town and we were like, we know nothing other than there's a guy and let's hope that there's a sign or somebody will point us in the right direction.
Yeah. So when we'd gone through, you know, Hachita had definitely seen better days, mm-hmm. Mostly dirt roads there just through town, not a whole lot of businesses. I think there was one small rural post office and I don't even remember a market.
I remember that there was like the
convenience store,
the skeleton of like a gas station convenience store kind of a place that was long closed.
Yeah. And so we got to Hachita. We didn't exactly know where this guy was. And this woman on the truck sees us and says, what are you guys doing here? And we're like, we're looking for this guy. We're supposed to be able to camp on his lawn. And she said, oh, you mean Sam? I was like, yeah, Sam, that's the guy.
Sounds good.
So we followed her to, you know, this other just really kind of humble home. And that's when we met Sam Hughes. And if you've ever had the pleasure of, you know, hiking or biking the CDT over the last, you know, 2 decades, you might have met Sam Hughes. He, I think at the time, this was back in what?
2010,
a decade earlier, a hiker had tumbled through town and asked for a lift to the border. And he said, sure, I'll take you there. And they got to talking. And that's when he discovered about this thing, the CDT that people did. And since then, he became a trail angel. So he has a CDT sign out on his property. He's got a little CB radio. He goes out to the different water caches that are near Hachita and, you know, fills it up with water. And if you're passing through the trail, wrapping up your journey, you know, he'll take you where you need to go. And he was a really fascinating guy. We got to know him a little bit. Here he is. He had a dog. I remember the dog's name was Bear. This tiny little thing.
Yep.
And he had such a fascinating history. I think his father was a Choctaw Native American, and he died. And then he was raised by the Cree and learned their language and also Indian Sign Language. And he at the time, he had just recently, it was a couple years after he had lost his wife, so the love of his life. And he was telling us that, you know, she was deaf, but they could still communicate because he knew sign language and all these things. And I distinctly remember when we were sitting there, he pulled out a couple of old, like, Mead notebooks, you know, so paper thin, just chock full of names and quick notes from people all over the world that had passed through, you know, this tiny speck of a town, Hachita, camped on, you know, his dirt lawn and passed through town.
Yeah. I remember just being kind of in awe of that because, you know, he lived in very, very basic adobe house. I think it was like basically a square.
Right.
And in this town that was kind of just drying up, and all these people from all over the world, you know, had come through and had stopped and had, you know, and had written in these notebooks about how grateful they were and how it was so good to meet him and all that sort of thing. It was very cool.
Yeah. I loved it. I think at the time he was probably in his 70s or 80s. So an old guy, and who wasn't going to be traveling anymore, but mm-hmm. could still get the benefits of travel from hearing all the stories of the people passing through.
Yeah. That was very cool.
Yeah.
Probably one of the strangest places, most unexpected places that we stayed on our trip was this place called Cowhead Ranch. And it was one of those where when we were riding down to Big Bend, we wanted to find a place to cut in the middle, to cut the distance. And somebody had said, oh, you should call this place because we hear they take in wayward travelers. And so we did, and we wound up here. And Cowhead is... This really interesting property. Man named Chris had moved out to this chunk of land in the middle of nowhere, basically in West Texas, and had built this sort of mini Western town. And kind of, there was a saloon and there were bunk houses and all these different things. And dogs roaming around, and I remember they had chickens roaming around and all this stuff. And I remember riding in and thinking, what have we gotten ourselves into? Like, what is this place, and I remember being really intimidated because it was a little ramshackle. I remember one of the people there had said when we first got there, something along the lines of the Marriott, this is not. I was like, yes. And I also remember that by the time we left, it was it's still to this day, it's my favorite memory of the whole trip because it was just so much more welcoming than most places, than pretty much anywhere else I've ever been. And it was really fascinating because they did sort of like take in wayward travelers. So people passing through and a lot of people on motorcycle and stuff. And, we were the first people on pedal bikes that had been through there. But they totally just welcomed us and said, brought us in, and, we crashed in one of their bunk houses, and you can kind of see the blurry dark, in the back, kind of in the middle, was this character named One-Eyed Luke, and he wore an eye patch, and he was sort of known in that part of the country for his cowboy poetry.
Yeah, there was a cowboy poetry festival going on in Alpine,
yeah,
and that's why he had stumbled there.
Yeah, for sure. I remember they had made a big pot of beans and cornbread, which was just unbelievable, and just invited us to, hang out and dig in. And then we all went outside and had this huge pallet fire and sat outside.
As you do in far West Texas.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was like 20 degrees, but it was incredible because just this huge, huge sky just dotted with stars, and, One-Eyed Luke reading his cowboy poetry, and we were just all hanging out, telling stories, and just really an incredible experience. That's Chris. And I just remember thinking, again, one of those experiences of, this is most definitely not somebody, like, I wouldn't have looked twice if we were driving by, and it's still, like, without a doubt, one of my favorite stories, favorite memories the whole trip.
Yeah. Cool. Well, if you guys are enjoying Story Night, let us know. give the video a thumbs up. It totally helps, it helps the channel. And I think we're going to take a little interlude here because while we're talking about Far West Texas, I made a video kind of summing up our feelings at the time while traveling. Again, trust me, or please forgive the production value. This was over a decade ago. It was mostly shot on a GoPro. But I remember we were having experience after experience at all these interesting hubs with these travelers that I wrote a quick script and, recorded some music. There was a musician that was playing and put together this little video. And I'll let you guys watch it and enjoy.
That's pretty good. Still don't sound right.
It was
just one of those perfect moments when you're traveling. A moment that will never likely happen again in the same exact way. A random collection of people, nomads and gypsies coming together. So we're sitting there at a sort of outdoor table at La Loma del Chivo in Marathon, Texas. There's Alan from England, bumming around the country with two video cameras. Jared, who's the manager of the hostel, until he enters the Marines in 2 months. Then there's an Australian guy and a guy named Adam. Not quite sure where he's from, but both are woofing. They're traveling from organic farm to work. And then there's Mike, a street performer from New Orleans, who's moving back to Austin. And in each of our hands, a can of Lone Star beer. It doesn't get better than this, folks. Someone asks Mike to bring out his steel guitar and he obliges. And just then, under that canopy of perfect stars, and in front of the glow of a warm fire, everything seems perfect. And you think to yourself, this is why we're doing this, for moments just like this. It's the sort of the moment you keep and you hold on to and revisit when things aren't going so well, when it's cold and rainy, and all you've got is a tin of Vienna sausages for dinner. Much like today, in fact. So through the magic of the internet's people, we're going to share this special moment with you.
This is one of my favorite songs.
Stayed in the city. He kept
kept on changing clothes and dirty old phone booths till his work was through and he had nothing to do except to go home. Superman never made any money while saving the world from Solomon Grundy. And sometimes I despair the world will never see another man like him again. Superman, out of tune.
All right, what a blast from the past.
Oh, man. Yeah, so that was just over 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And it's funny because, like, no joke. Like, I actually go back and dig that out of the archives every so often because it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
And watch it because it's just, like, it still makes me kind of teary, you know?
For sure.
And what's funny is, like, I still remember you making that when we were sitting in the Comstock Motel, mm-hmm. being hungry, in case you watched the last week's live stream, and feeling like, you know, kind of feeling all alone, like we were out there doing our thing and, you know, meeting great people and then saying goodbye to great people. And this just always, like, reminds me that it was worth it.
Right.
You know?
I hope you guys enjoyed that interlude because now we are moving into the final act. Unfortunately, act three. I'm going to do my best Ira Glass here. See you down the road. So, like Laura alluded to, one of the best parts and the worst parts about traveling long-term like this is you do meet tons of people. Like, you know, like we've shared with you guys some of their stories, but you also say goodbye a lot. And it's absolutely heart-wrenching, you know, sometimes because you meet these people, you become fast friends. You know that if you lived in the same city, you'd hang out, get beers, all that good stuff. But, you know, the time that you guys have is just that moment before you move on. But that's not always the case.
That's true.
Actually, sometimes you run into people again.
Yes.
And I'm going to transition. A good example of this is, you know, when you ride the Pacific Coast, you know, the first couple of months of our bike touring was down the Pacific Coast. And if you've ever done that, you know, it's a really popular bike touring route. Lots of people from all over the world, all over the country do it. And you end up hopscotching. So you meet some people at one campsite. And then, you know, if you're riding the same pace, you get to know them better at the next campsite. And you go down and down, down across the coast. And, you know, all these people, we became pretty fast friends just moving down the coast. Some of them we met later on in our travels also.
Yeah. I remember getting to a point where we actually were like, hey, where are you guys camping tonight? And, you know, so we'd all, you know, line up and.
Yeah, it was a movable feast. I remember that's what the phrase that stuck in my head.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we had a number of really interesting experiences when we were in New Zealand. This is this photo is from a stretch of the Forgotten World Highway, which is this really super cool route in the North Island. And we met this family. John and Bridget and their two kids, and they every summer they do a trip, and they had these really interesting tandems where the adult sits at the back and pedals, and the kids sit in this like recumbent position in the front, and they can pedal, but they don't, like, if they pedal it helps, but they don't have to pedal. So good for kids that don't have that much stamina.
It's like an e-bike, but your parents are the motor.
right. And so, yeah, we met them on the Forgotten World Highway, and and kind of hopscotched with them also over a couple of days camping in these really like in, beautiful technicolor green hills and jungle landscapes down there. And then, you know, several weeks later, actually stayed with them when we were passing through the South Island. And then they came out and rode a stretch of the Otago Central Rail Trail with us, which was very cool. And just a nice, you know, every so often you have those experiences where you do get to, like, you know, meet somebody and then meet them again.
Right. And I think they did a trip out to the United States a couple years later, and they had emailed us asking us for some places to ride, and we gave them a little intel. So it was nice to be able to return the favor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and my my absolute favorite story, unfortunately, does not come with a photo. So this is, you're gonna have to use your imagination, and this is the best I can come up with, because this is roughly the setting. But when we were in California, riding south out of Sacramento, we camped at this string of lakes going down there. And at one of those campgrounds, I remember actually cooking hard-boiled eggs at the campground. And this this couple, Beverly and Ray, they came by and they had seen us ride in. And so they rolled up and, you know, "Where are you guys from? And do you want a beer?" Sure. Okay. And so the four of us sat around and just kind of chatted for a while, and they were also traveling by RV, and they had bikes with them. And I remember having a really nice conversation with them, and you know, finished the beers and, you know, wished each other well, and off they went. And then 2 months later, we're sitting at the rest area off of I-8 outside of Yuma, in that stretch of absolute nothingness where we would cook in one place and then go find a place where we could free camp. And so we're cooking dinner, and who walks up but Beverly? And we were like,
I think she offered us a beer.
She did. She was like, "You want a beer?" Okay. So we hung out. Whoever was driving did not have a beer there, but and so we just, you know, hung out and chatted and caught up with them. And and they were also on this just, you know, kind of rambling travels. And I remember exchanging some emails with them over the next while. And then several years later, we did a video shoot, and they did a event to sort of launch the videos. And who should be there but Beverly? And I was like, "What?" The point is that you never know, right? You can meet somebody and they might just be this like blip of a moment in your life, and they could be somebody that, you know, for whatever reason, you're just destined to run into again.
Mm-hmm. I feel that's happened a couple times. You know, we've been really fortunate to be able to reconnect with people that we met while traveling. We know one guy, Howard, that we met in Denton, Texas, and he ended up moving out to Portland. So we got to hang out there. We had our friend, Mike McKisson, who we stayed with in Tucson. And he had an amazing story of it being overweight and then losing, I don't know, God, like 150 pounds or something, bicycling. He was just off the tail end off of that, like super fit. And since then, we've, you know, stayed with him a couple times. So to me, there's this kind of notion of karmic debt that you accrue as a traveler. You know, when you're privy to all these kindnesses, it adds up. And, you know, I feel like, you know, it's our turn to give back, to say thank you. I don't know if any of these people are going to be watching, but we met so many people that opened up their doors, that, you know, showed us around their city, their town, you know, bought us a meal or had beers with us. And it's just, you know, I feel like it's a good time to revisit these stories and give thanks. Mm-hmm. So I'll wrap up with a couple of quick anecdotes. This is our Diane and Joe, or he goes by Spooky Joe. They had a bike shop in Bryson City. And this was about the time I was just getting into fly fishing. I hadn't caught a trout yet. You know, I think a chub was the best fish I'd caught so far. And they happened to be, you know, not only did they run the bike shop in Bryson City, but they were also avid fishermen. So with them, I caught my first trout, just really tiny creek. And I think they've since moved to Boise and opened up a bike shop fairly recently. So you should go visit their shop. I remember when we traveled through Austin, we had this S240 event. We presented at this bike shop and a bunch of people came out. So a bunch of newbies, experienced, you know, bike tourists. We went out to the local state park and had it overnight. Oh, Nick. This is, again, you know, people we had met in Denton. You know, Maurice will tell you a story of him probably next time when we talk about food, because we had the most amazing Southern meal with him and his family.
We actually had a couple of amazing meals with him.
Yeah. you know, friends from Nashville. Everywhere they were. They were in
Nashville.
They're in Nashville,
yeah,
also.
Yeah, I think we knew them from a website that was it, were they bike commuters?
Yeah. I think they were might have been part of bikecommuter.com. You know, this artist couple in Eastern Tennessee that we stayed with. So many people. So many people. So it's been really, honestly, so many people. And this is my favorite thing about traveling. And I feel like, you know, some people, when they go out, they forget to take pictures of the people that you meet. And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes. You know, Instagram worthy sunset, cool. Instagram worthy meal, also cool. But a decade later, from all that traveling, the thing that sticks out the most is the people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
So with that, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of
Russ's American Life.
The Pathless Pedaled American Life. I think this is going to be the formal end for the podcast version. I'm not going to bore them with the internet chat that's going to follow. But if you enjoyed this video, love this format, let us know in the comments below. Give it a thumbs up. It really helps in terms of getting views and making the channel grow. All that good stuff. I know it sounds super boring. Everyone asks for the likes and the subs, but there's a reason. There's a reason, people. I know I kind of threw this on you at the very last minute. I was like, remember that live stream we did last week? I want to do a This American Life version.
Yeah. You know, Russ does not, you know, Russ doesn't, you know, take the next step in small steps. You right. Just like to like take a big bite out of
yeah, things. For sure.
So let's just do this like big and elaborate setup. Yeah. But pretty fun to go back and remember all the different people that we've met and kind of talk about some of that, because that really is, I mean, that's the heart of traveling.
Yeah. So I think we'll hang out in the comments for a couple minutes. If you guys have any questions about the places that we mentioned, let us know. I know I saw one go by that was asking about the hostel in Texas. Mm. So Loma del Chivo, it was in Marathon.
Yes.
Pronounced Marathon, not Marathon. And what I remember about it is that it was a papercrete construction. Mm-hmm. So basically you're living in a paper mache and it didn't have a single straight wall in the entire building. It was all kind of rounded shapes, animals coming out of the walls.
Yeah, it was very much like what you would expect a kind of high artist to come up with.
A very high artist.
Yeah, it was cool. I honestly have no idea if they're still around.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a cool space.
Yeah, I guess we should give some updates. You know, Cowhead Ranch, I know that Chris passed away a couple years ago. Someone had emailed us and told us that.
I think Sam did too.
Yeah, Sam passed away a couple years ago as well. Last I heard, someone might have taken up his torch in Hachita. I'm not sure. Hopefully someone has.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of a pivotal spot to have some support along the CDT.
For sure.
Yeah.
Question, if we've ridden in Minnesota, North Dakota, or Michigan, the answer is pretty much no. We've done a little bit of riding in Minnesota, going out for some salsa events, that kind of thing, but not enough by any stretch.
Yeah. So David asks, if Texas is mostly private land, where do you camp when touring? Always have to find a hotel or private campground. That is a tricky part about Texas.
Yeah, it was, especially, you know, when you're covering big distances, especially like West Texas, where it really is all private land and there's long, long distances between places.
Yeah, I remember when we were going through that stretch in Far West, there was, what's it called? Someone had a big like space camp thing. Was that Jeff Bezos or?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, some private space facility, and you'd see all this open land and then just like miles of fence and yeah. You couldn't go in there. So for that, you know, we try to be respectful of private property. So we do, when we can, you know, try to find a campground or stay in a motel or something.
Yeah. I mean, I know a number of, bike tourists, and Willie Weir, of course, is pretty famous for this, who like to, you know, knock on people's doors and ask if it's okay if they camp on their property, especially, you know, if you're in farm country, and there's just a big open field somewhere. So, that's not something we did a whole lot, but, it's always an option.
Yeah. So here's a question here. If you were to do it again, what bike would you bring? would you have changed your bike if you could do that?
I don't know. I mean, the bike that I rode at the time was perfect for who I was at the time.
Right.
I wouldn't want to ride it right now.
Yeah,
but
I think it's the only bike that could have carried the amount of gear that we had. I mean, we were packed to the gills.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I think if we were to do it all again, we would do it differently. So I don't know if we can, I don't know if we can answer that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tricky. Like, I think I like your answer that, you know, at the time it was the right bike. You know, I don't think there's a notion of a perfect bike. Trust me. I've reviewed a lot of bikes and each one has its pluses and minuses.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good update from Steve.
Which one? All right. So Steve Fuller, you know that Jeffrey Sharp is kind of a trail angel in Hachita. Right.
Good. Good to know that there's somebody there.
I remember thinking when we were staying with Sam, is like, I don't know how long he's going to be around, but I hope someone takes his place just because it's so remote mm-hmm. and the services he provides is super valuable to the people that need them.
For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Would you go back? So we got asked this last week. Would you go back on the long tour?
And you know, my answer is probably not. I think, for me, one of the hardest parts of being on a long, long tour are those places where there's no good place to camp. And so you wind up at just, you know, some kind of sad RV park somewhere.
Right.
And those were always really depressing to me. So, you know, so I think it would be, I would, you know, definitely do some touring again, long, you know, long distance kind of thing, but it would be more, I think, curated ahead of time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, you know, super long distance touring where you're moving constantly. Whew, I don't know. It's funny. I feel like you don't really get a sense of a place because you're always moving and negotiating where you're going to stay and eat and all that stuff. So you don't really sink in, meet the locals and all that stuff. And as you can see, you know, one of our favorite things is to chat with people mm-hmm. and it's hard to do when you're constantly moving. So I think a base camp model would make more sense for us now. So finding, you know, a small destination, doing loop rides, you know, getting to really know the local businesses and hopefully meet some people there.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So. Yeah. One day when everything's open again. And...
Yeah. That's true. Except the crust.
But even the crust has its issues.
Yeah, crust is a lovely bike, but I don't think it could have carried all that weight.
No.
I mean, just to put it in perspective, we carried, you know, there's 150 pounds of gear plus ourselves on the bike. And for the time for that ride, the long haul trucker was the about as perfect a bike as you could ask for.
I really think it was the only answer.
Yeah.
Back then. So, yeah. 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 Awesome.
Cool. Should take it home?
I'm gonna
play some sounds. Oh yeah,
nice. Yeah, Russ has this new fancy mixer.
It's so good, it's so good. I can play sound, music, sound effects. It's just we're upping the production value on these live streams, people. So speaking of which, you know, thank you for spending an hour with us this evening. This was super fun to do, albeit a little stressful.
Yes.
I think we'll keep doing them, right?
I would like to. Yeah. I think the next one should be the food.
Yeah. Yeah. We're trying to do these stories thematically just so there's a something that ties it all together. It's not just random anecdotes. Mm-hmm. And food is a big thing that has popped up many times.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially, I think, because there's such interesting regional differences.
Oh, for sure.
And so, like, the different, you know, the foods that you find in Louisiana, the way that barbecue changes between Texas and North Carolina, all those different things. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So if you like food.
I'm making myself hungry.
I know. And I know you must because you ride bikes. You're going to like next week's episode. What are we calling it?
I don't know.
I think
food we've met.
Yeah, the food you will like or hunger is the best sauce. Let us know which you think should be the title.
Nice.
But thanks again, everyone, for joining us this evening. Thanks again. If we stayed with you and you happen to see this video,
absolutely,
we owe you a lot.
Yes.
We think about all these people all the time, kind of frozen in amber almost, and I always wonder how they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. So if you guys like this kind of content, let us know. Like, share, subscribe, all that stuff. And as always, keep the supple side down.